ram other people. And they'd, it would just, yes. and then somebody, some of them would get it in for somebody else because maybe they'd been hit real hard. But it was an interesting thing. We had a fun house where after you went in, you didn't know what was up and what was down. Coke bottles rolled uphill. And they had these funny mirrors, curved mirrors that you were all different shapes from top, from your head to your feet. And I think that was the fun house that you paid for a boat ride. And you went back through, and on, this was something similar to what they have at Disneyland, but on a very small scale. And they'd have things on the side that you would say lit up, and maybe scary, scary things. And
Tunnel of Love.
Yeah, that was a Tunnel of Love.
How about a Ferris wheel? Was there a Ferris wheel? Big wheel?
No, no. I don't remember if there was. No, I would have remembered. To my knowledge, I won't say for sure. I don't think there was. However, we did have the street fair that I referred to. Mm-hmm. We had a Ferris wheel at Broadway and High on the north side. Which would have been right up, well, of course, parking lot there now.
And, where Kroger is now? Uh-huh.
But right up close to High Street and right close to Broadway.
So they would just bring in a Ferris wheel for that festival?
Well, they...
There were big companies that used to...
This was a celebration of, I think, the theater, the... What do they call this underpass at... to the Clinton School now. The tunnel? The subway?
The underground.
The underground. Well, we used to call it the subway and different things. It was this. High Street was two streets separated by two rails for streetcars and a interurban streetcar which had a separate width rail. And it would come up, and then there was paved on each side. The middle was just like a railroad with ballast underneath the rails and ties. And then at streets, then there would be crossings. Now, at the same time, this was paved with cobblestones or with granite stones in the middle. So you had one wide High Street then. Mm-hmm. Probably cars were increasing and I think and another thing they did at the same time was put in a big trunk sewer line down the west side of High Street, and this was everything was they wanted to have a jubilee when all this was finished. Mm-hmm. And they had this street fair.
Celebrating the completion.
And it run from Oakland Park on the west side of High Street down as far as Como.
Wow. Okay. And now, can I just ask something? Now, and part of the celebration was finishing the streetcar tracks and the rail tracks and that kind
sewer
of thing?
Line.
Paving.
And the sewer line.
Paving in
the,
there.
The cobblestone paving. Okay. All right.
Stop a minute.
Okay. Let's go ahead and start this.
She'll just come and slip in.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
You heard about the dam that was built on the Olentangy from your grandparents, did you? Or tell us what your knowledge of that.
I would have heard that from my mother and dad. I think mother gave me most of the information that was carried down from the grandparents, my dad and her brother-in-law's. Another part of the Olentangy Amusement Park was the rowboats and the canoeing. Well, the Olentangy River was not much of a river, a flowing river. It was more like a bunch of lakes connected with riffles in between. Mm-hmm. So they built a concrete and wooden dam just north of Doddridge Street. Mm-hmm. Now, the remains of that was there when I was a boy, and I would judge that it was at least 4 foot tall. mm-hmm. perhaps five. Mm-hmm. Now, and it was dammed up as far as at the end of Brighton Road. During Depression, they built a wall down here. Mm-hmm. And there, at the base of this wall was a concrete, small wall, I guess, in itself, and a walkway with rings buried in the concrete for to tie up boats. And this was for the Broadway Canoe Club. And this was a solid river here at before the 1913 flood. Mm-hmm. So the 13 flood was one of those which we now call a 100-year flood. Mm-hmm. And it did a lot of damage on the bottoms. I happened to be at a hardware store out perhaps a mile from the Scioto River, and the high water mark was up on the second floor.
Wow.
Oh, that that building.
That was farther south.
In the bottoms. Which would be going towards the hilltop.
Now, it washed out the dam up here?
And that's what destroyed the dam.
And that was 1913. So from the time it was built until 1913, that was part of the amusement park's offerings.
Right, yeah.
And what else?
And the Broadway canoe?
Well, there are other canoe clubs, yes. The next one, the largest one, was the... let's cover the Broadway Canoe Club first before my brain gets in gear again. Was the Broadway Canoe Club, and the clubhouse was directly behind where we are sitting right here. It was where this garage is on Richard's property,
uh-huh.
right where that garage is. That was
right
the Canoe Club uh-huh. building.
So at the corner of Brighton uh-huh. and the river, essentially, as Brighton goes in towards the river, or
no,
it was on
West North Broadway.
It was on
North. On the back part of the lot, close to the river,
okay.
and that was the clubhouse. And then right next door to it was the storage building for the canoes.
So it was very close to where your family's property was.
Right across the street.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right across the street.
So there was no alley here?
Theoretically, from the Broadway extension addition, there was a dedicated 16-foot alley. Which didn't come into being as an alley per se until a number of years later.
Mm-hmm.
But the Broadway extension was dreamed up in part in the 1890s.
Okay.
So anyway, down at the end of the alley, first there was a set of steps going down to where you could have your canoes tied up along the river, but they had a two concrete piers out, perhaps 16 feet apart, and originally they had a superstructure of a steel superstructure to where with with chain hoists, one person could hook a canoe onto this, let it out over the river and let it down. But by the time I was growing up and able to go down to the river myself, that iron had been cut away and salvaged.
Wow.
And but they still were there.
So it was like an arm going out over the river?
Yeah, and
drop.
Just sticking out with a trolley or thing in the middle, and they could let it down into the water, and one person could mount a boat. Then there was the Clintonville Canoe Club, which was at the corner of Orchard Lane and Olentangy Boulevard. And the building still stands as a residence. And it was built especially for a large group of people. I mean, they had a dance floor that must have been at least 24 feet square without a post. And I used to go up and down the river there a lot, and we were going up towards Fuller Farm, which is now Whetstone Park, and we looked in a couple of times to see what it was like. And we'd walk
up.
Did you watch a dance going on? It just continued as a canoe club back in 13.
Okay.
No, I would have been going by in the 20s and 30s.
Right.
And,
it stopped with a flood.
Yeah, but
the house was then bought by someone to live in.
And made a residence, and now they put in a swimming pool beside it, and it's all fenced off, and it was a nice building. I mean, it was built, didn't look like a building, it more or less looked like a residence. I mean, it wasn't tall or anything, but it was a nice looking building.
Well, I wonder if that dance floor is still there.
Well, it surely is.
Why would you take it out?
Jimmy Rollins wouldn't mind.
But someone owns that.
It would be interesting for somebody to interview the people and get a cameraman in there and take some pictures.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, I was at a garage sale there last summer. I got a painting that's up in my bedroom, and that lampshade.
Oh, really?
From that house.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you sure it was that house?
The White House.
Are you sure? You... May I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to the garage sale on the northwest corner of the road that went back to Northmore Park?
No. Just that one little space there, it's not even a road, it's just like a pull-off before you get to the Northmore Park Road. It's the White House with the white fence around it. She had a big wraparound veranda. It's a low house.
Okay, that's it. In other words, the extension of Orchard Lane.
Yeah.
Okay, good. There's a lady who has a perpetual garage sale over there at the entrance of Northmore Park.
Okay.
And I just thought it might be.
I want to ask you about the house. If you go down, what's our next street over past Broadway?
Kenworth Road.
Kenworth. When you go down to the end here, where it curves and turns into Olentangy, the house that sits back here on the river with the stone fence, it's got the big lot, and is right by North Broadway and the river. When was that put there?
Now that... North Broadway extension was built because of East North Broadway. East North Broadway was an old street.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get to your thing. It's a little background.
I know you will.
East North Broadway, I don't know when it was thought up, but it was actually a railroad stop. And there was a lot of what then were mansions, large homes with carriage houses behind and so forth. Broadway west of there was lined up with East North Broadway. It had been the Smith Farm, and it was called Broadway Extension. The next farm north was the Scott Farm. And by the way, the Scott Farm was owned by Dr. John Scott, who was the third president of Ohio State University. And this was back in the days when it was more of an agricultural
mm-hmm.
college. And he was a big, tall man, maybe 6'5", with a long beard. I mean, it was down to here.
Down to mid-chest.
Mid-chest, yes. And he had dealings with my grandfather. Now, when I was carrying my papers going up High Street, he was a walker. And by the way, he walked to work.
To Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. And I would speak to him, and he would acknowledge me. But I was shy, and I should have told him that I was Bobby O'Haver, or that I was Harvey O'Haver's grandson. But I guess I was too afraid to ever mention that, if I ever even thought of it. But he was an interesting person. Now we've got to Kenworth Road. Kenworth Road and Orchard Lane was the Scott Farm. And right across the street from this place that you just bought your antique
mm-hmm.
Was part of the original orchard.
Mm-hmm.
And that remained as an orchard up until the 30s. And when we used to walk up along the river, we'd stop there in the fall of the year with the grass high. and root around for apples. Maybe there'd be one bite on the apple that you could bite. And we'd fill our pockets full of apples because it took a dozen apples to equal one.
The worms had gotten to them?
Yeah, and they were all knotty. They weren't sprayed or anything like that. Right. But now, Dr. Scott had the lots laid out and so forth, and he come down here to this curve, and with his farm, his land run clear down to the alley behind your house. Mm-hmm. Because of giving the land on both sides of the original stream. Mm-hmm. And that's these lots, one that my grandparents bought, the last three lots were like a shape of a small piece of pie, mm-hmm. because of the angling come down across there. Well, there was this, he had lots down to, maybe 200 feet from the river, the last full lot until you come to the curve. Mm-hmm. So here he had this hunk of land from Kenrith Road to the alley between Broadway and Brighton. Mm-hmm. And it was somebody, people by the name of Heron, who were in the wholesale grocery business, bought it as a country, country home. And right where, do you know Jim Talley, behind Frank's house?
Oh, okay, yes.
Okay, out along the front there, mm-hmm. along the, just about in that area, they built a summer home. So, being on this side of the stream was inaccessible to the original farmer, and he had enough trees to cut down on his land, so rather than to go across a gully where the stream run, and to cut some trees down that he couldn't have got across anyway. So this was laid dormant as original trees. Wow. And right in the middle of Broadway, there was a huge oak tree that must have been 4 or 4.5 feet in diameter, wow. with trees with limbs 30 inches in diameter, up 30 feet in the air. Wow. And all along the edge of this ravine were huge oaks, and some down along the river. And there was a huge horse chestnut tree that had the most beautiful bloom on it. I mean, it belonged to the Buckeye family, but I mean, compared to a Buckeye bloom, I mean, it was fantastic.
Where exactly did the stream go that you talk about? It was an offshoot of the river, or did it flow into the river? Where did
it help make the river?
Okay.
Starting up on the top of our valley, we are in a valley. Uh-huh. Coming down the drainage from Torrance Road. Mm-hmm. This was a natural stream bed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it came down until when I was a little boy, perhaps 4 or mm-hmm. there's some things that I remember when I was 3, but I was probably 4. We went over there and the stream was still there from the river over to Kenrith Road.
So it crossed High Street?
Yeah.
So there was a bridge over it to go up north on High Street?
Well, at one time there would have been a bridge over it, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this was actually Torrance Road, was the stream?
Torrance Road was the ravines, the bed of the stream, mm-hmm. down uh-huh. through there.
Good. Okay, and it came
now,
across High Street.
When I was over in, well, let's finish up this here area of this house down at the end of Kenrith.
Right. The summer home.
So the Herons bought this land and had their summer home here. And their son-in-law was Dr. Thornton. He had a business office at Tompkins and High. Tompkins and High? What's that through street with the traffic light on the corner where Blockbuster is?
Hudson
and High, southwest corner. Tompkins, the next one south.
Okay. We're Taco Bell is now.
We're Taco Bell was.
Oh, that's right.
So, Mrs. Heron, original name was Zinn, and for some reason or another, the first thing you know, the Herons didn't own this property anymore, and Harvey Zinn owned the property. And he's the one that built that house. Now, he had the big lumber company, which was on both sides of Hudson, from the back of the storefronts back to the first alley.
Okay.
And
east of High Street?
East of High Street, yes, ma'am. Gotcha. And there, where recently was the restaurant called the Heist.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the original Northern Savings Bank.
Okay.
And he became president of the Northern Savings Bank.
Wow. Mr. Zinn did.
Mr. Zinn.
And what year did he build that house?
Probably in the 20s. Mm-hmm. Probably the late 20s, probably during that big boom we had. I mean, from 25 to 30. Was the biggest boom. And because I know the Thornton boys would come up here in the summertime, and there was a big gate going into the place, and they used this building that had been used for canoe storage. Mm-hmm. They had it changed into just like a one-story barn, and that's where they kept automobiles. And Bob Thornton and Beecher Thornton and I would swing on this big wooden gate. So that I had to be old enough to be permitted to go, you know, a little distance from home.
Right. So Thornton married a Zinn?
Zinn.
Okay. Is that right?
No.
Or Herons?
No.
Heron.
The Herons. Mrs. Heron. Was a Zinn.
Okay.
And Thornton was a son, Heron's son.
Okay.
Son-in-law.
Okay. Their son was named Hal. Hal? Let me think about that. I'm not quite sure.
Well, you mentioned
Hall, not Hal. Hall Heron. Okay. I didn't think that was right. Paul Heron.
About the interesting people who lived in this area. You once mentioned someone named Moose.
Bill Moose.
Billy Moose. Bill Moose was an Indian. He was a Wyandotte Indian. I found out late in life. I was at a friend's house, and they had company. They had gone to school with this man. And Bill Moose had worked on the farm of this man's grandfather.
Who's and grandfather?
Well, I can't think of this young man's name right off.
So you were visiting
with my friends that had lived next door to me, and they bought a house down on Tompkins Street.
Okay.
So that he had, Billy Moose had taken care of the horses for this man's grandfather. That's the first time I ever heard anything about what he did prior to being old and living in a little shanty on Morse Road, east of the freeway, east of the railroad tracks.
Okay.
And we used to walk up there. I think I've only been up there three times when I was a boy. it was a long walk from here.
Sure, hike.
And we'd save some of our lunch, either an apple or an orange or something like that. And this was a tin shack with a dugout to it. And he had the firebox of an old-fashioned furnace. Mm-hmm. And he was proud of that stove. And he had friends on the railroad, people that worked on the railroad. And he would get with them and come down to Clintonville on the handcar. And they would make arrangements with somebody. I don't know how in the world, but some coal got thrown off of the, maybe it was from the engine or from the locomotive. Mm-hmm. And he would pick up coal from along the railroad track. Now, on Sundays, people could go up there that is aware of it. And where his shanty was, this space doesn't exist anymore. It's the on-ramp going south to get onto Interstate, to get on 71. He was exactly across the street from, I've got a mental block here, help me. The street that goes
Sinclair.
North got a hotel,
Sinclair.
Right. I don't know why, I've got a mental block
Sinclair,
on that.
You can go across Sinclair.
Right across, you were right there at his place, and you looked out, and this country road went straight north. And that was all farmland from there on. Mm-hmm. And right across the Indianola was the Wyandotte Country Club golf course.
And it had been the home of Wyandotte Indians.
Well, Billy Moose just happened to live there. I think it was, Lord only knows why.
And he was a Wyandotte Indian.
He was a Wyandotte, last of the tribe. And he got old, and he was in a some sort of a rest home for a while. And in the mid-30s, he died. And the city made a big occasion of this.
Really?
The Indians, with his death, passed from this area. Huh. And they had made arrangements. They had his casket made. And it was all lined with Indian-type blanket motif. Mm-hmm. And, oh, by the way, Indian Bill always carried a Civil War musket, rifle. And something else here. And it was a hot summer day. It must have been 90. And there was 10,000 people to his funeral. Hmm. Now, he lies, if you know where Lane Road is, mm-hmm. not Lane Avenue, Lane Road.
Off of Kenny Road.
Okay. Right, if you go up on Route 33, not too far north of where McCoy runs into 33.
Got it.
That's him. I used to live on Lymington Road, right by McCoy, and the big stone, that we call that Leather Lips.
Leather Lips is
farther north.
Yeah, it's way up further.
So there used to be
there's a small park there.
Yeah, that's right, like out my back door. I used to sneak out there.
I told you this story years ago, and you mentioned that.
Yeah, I forgot all about
it. You said it was right across the fence from to this little park.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, there was a park there on the north side, and you could enter it from Lane Road. And originally, as you were going up Route 33, there was a small gravel road that you could go up on this knoll. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, they cut that off. And there's a pile of big, huge boulders with carvings in it, like a picture of a teepee. And then there's a plaque or something like that giving the history of Billy Moose.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's buried there.
He's buried there, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
You said to remind you about the other Indians.
Yes. First, Leather Lips, as long as we're talking about old Indians. There's a spatial history which you should look up on the Leather Lips. Now, he's buried along Route 33, not too far south of O'Shaughnessy Dam and the zoo.
Right.
Thank you.
Way out there.
And originally, the contour of the land would be different than what it is now. Where Leather Lips is built, it's a small grave area and very inaccessible. I mean, it's a cut through a higher rolling part of the land. And to my knowledge, unless they've dedicated something, there's no parking within an area of that. Now, as I say, you should read about Leather Lips.
Right.
He was a friend. I'll go ahead and finish this.
Yes.
Way back when Franklinton was the center here in Ohio, this Indian was a friend, an advisor, and so forth to the white man. Well, the Indian powers to be didn't like that because they were having war against the white man, and so they decided that he should be executed.